This is something when I was studying last night, it wasn't for class, but I didn't think it was. But he just brought this back to my remembrance as Jerry was praying. And just think of love in a way you've never even imagined. It's like love doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. And that is a big step of love right there. It's not about self anymore. It's all about the body. It's about the growth of other believers. You're believing God. And once you have seen that for your life, then you're not easily provoked. You think no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity. But you do rejoice in one thing. Rejoice in the truth. And rejoicing in the truth, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But love does these things. And this is the verse. Beareth all things. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. When we go through all these things, I don't care what it is, we know that bearing all things, just like you go through a trial, whatever's happening in your life, it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. God is going to take you through this, but he may have you pray for someone else that they'll get through this trial. And you're believing, not just all things for your life, you're believing for the good of the other people and for their growth. You're hoping in all things. If I didn't have hope in the times we pray for our grandchildren, anything, our jobs, whatever it is, if we didn't have hope, and that means hope thou in God, hope in the truth, in the things that you cannot see the answer, but you know God is in control, and only God can bring us to that place. It takes time, it takes trials, it takes the valleys, and yes, you will worship him on that mountaintop. There will be no glory in itself. He gives the grace that is needed. Grace will abound in all things. He said, enduring all things. How will you go through these trials? How is different people going who don't even have that close relationship that maybe you have? And sometimes they might have a closer one. We don't even know. See, God looks at the heart. God doesn't look at what man looks on the outside. True beauty is inward. And if you've noticed lately, which I believe a lot of people are seeing this, people who have not been coming to church, people who have not been going to Bible studies, people who have not been looking the way we think they should look. I see God in his love and his grace, that mercy. He's drawing them, just like the thief on the cross. It looked like the last moment of his life. But who was there? Jesus. He said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. But why did he say that? Because the one who was hanging there, just about ready to die, he said, remember me. Will you remember me? He knew that Jesus was up there and he had done nothing wrong. And he was suffering for the wrong thing. But people, that's what saints are doing today. We must be suffering for righteousness' sake. Suffer that others may grow. Long suffering, forbearing, that is love. And he had on my heart how love considers. But he brought that word, consider, to me. And it was like, if you're going to consider something, you need to think carefully with the Lord in his word. Meditate. Think about it very carefully about something, especially before you make a decision. Make sure you're not making a decision because of something that's going on. Make sure you're not making a decision because someone made you angry. Make sure those decisions are when there's peace in your heart. At the time of a storm is not the time to make a decision. In the time of the trial, let the Lord do that still small voice. Let him speak to us. There's something to learn from all this. And aren't you glad you have hope? hope that no matter what happens, I don't care who does it, what says it, it doesn't even matter. God has this thing, and God always brings more than man or the devil could ever do. He's going to bring much more out of this. But that word, consider. Consider the lilies. Lilies, they don't toil. They don't spin. They don't get upset. But you know, they already know where their help comes from. They're down and they're in the shape of a trump. But those lilies, when they're in, where are they? In the lowly land. The lowly place. And they depend on the rain. They depend on the sun. Everything they get is from the Lord. So when we make decisions, consider. Think on this very clearly. Ask the Lord, help me to know what is the decision you have made for my life. Paul could have said, if you remember, he said he would love to have left, but it was more needful that he stayed. For us, it was more needful for whatever Christ wanted to do. It wasn't about my life. It wasn't about his future. He already knew. He had hope beyond the grave. He already knew what Jesus did for him. He already had that hope, and he had the assurance. He knew, where'er he leads me, I will follow. I can stay right there. Paul, Lord, remove this. How about we just do this and it'll be gone? I'm telling you, have you ever left a job in your life? I did. As growing in the Lord, it was like, I'm getting out of here. And I left that job. I went to some other thing to do. It doesn't matter where you go. If you didn't learn it where you were, you're still gonna have to learn it wherever you go. That's what I saw when I went to see my brother. I saw the prisoners. I saw such patience. They had to go to the bathroom. And I remember my brother's excusing himself from us and said, I'm going to go up. I have to stand by the door and I have to wait. And there's all these men. Now you think about this. All these men sitting there, every once in a while they'll look over at you. And I thought, Lord, he has more patience than I do. I was like, you act so evil. Why would you do this to somebody? And he just stands there with his hands behind his back, and he looks, and he waits. And I go, Mom, what patience. Look what God has done. Standing there, not getting angry. And then the guy finally, after about 5-10 minutes, finally, he looks over, and he decides to walk toward him. And he walked just like this, all slow, coming across the room. What do you think's going on in that body? I saw what was going on, a peace. Don't argue about it. Don't fight with them. Whatever they're doing, they're trying to stir you up. They're trying to stir up anger. And it was like he just stood there. And when the guy walked up, I could not believe it. Dennis looked at him and he just smiled. Smiled at him, and the guard smiled at him. And the guard walks over and opens up the door and he let him out. We had to go through that probably in the day that we were there 2 or 3 times. And it didn't get any better. And I thought, you see, all the people that are there, you have to submit to authority somewhere, sometime, and only God knows if we're truly submitting, okay? I saw people who had to get in there. God brought them there. Because of his love, not because of his anger and because he hates them. It was because he knew they needed it. It was best for them to submit to authority. And they are submitting now to authority. Gene always talks about the one who went to the Marines. I'm not going to listen to my mom and dad. He joined the Marines. I go, what a dum-dum. You know? But he, 9 times out of 10, did he even make it there? We are only going to make it when we submit to authority. And that is not just our boss. That's not just our pastor. That's not just our mother or our friends or our children to submit. No, that is a life before God. Let my life be. Consider the lilies. They don't toil. They don't spend. They don't worry about, well, how am I going to have money for food? How am I going to have money for clothes? He said, you do one thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all those things that always in the life of man, and this is natural, we worry about those things. Well, I better have a good, and I'm not saying you don't have wisdom to have life insurance and stuff, but you can really get caught up in that, really get caught up. And I've had to watch individuals through my life that there was nothing they could do. They couldn't afford life insurance. They couldn't afford health insurance, but God. You see, God met them right where they were, in that exact place. And I believe if we have that kind of a hope, we're going to have joy. We're going to have peace in the midst of our trials. We're going to be able to go through this. Now, if I thought I had to go today and talk with my daughter and change her mind and make her do this and make the right decision, no, I will offer it. But that's her choice. She has to make that choice. But do I quit? Never, ever come to the place that you give up on anybody. Jesus' love never gives up. He wants pure love to be shown among the brethren and shown among those who don't even know him. My heart grieves for those who do not know the one and only Savior. They're trying so many ways and so many works to get saved. And the Lord said there is only one way of salvation. I want you to go to Matthew 16, because this is something that has, someone said it, I don't know who it was. I think it was Gene, but it was the Holy Spirit. In 16, verse 13, yeah, it was Gene. Peter's confession of faith. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, remember, who's a disciple? Learners of him. Okay? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? Go out and ask people, who do you say he is? Sometimes they don't have an answer for nothing. And they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah's, or one of the prophets. Okay, so they all have their own little who he is and what he is and what he's done. And some could say he was the miracle worker because they saw healings. His disciples saw lots of different things. But he said to them, but whom say you that I am? Each one of us, who do you say he is? When you really sit back and you think, and he asks you, who do you say that I am? I pray our answer is, you're my all in all. Because you're altogether lovely. You're everything. It's like, Lord, we would run out of words. You're the way, the truth, the life, my counselor, my peace, my love. He's everything. And that's what he's going to bring us to. And then he says, not that you have head knowledge. Head knowledge will get us nowhere. It's I want you to know me. And I love you. And once you know me, I can come to you and say, who do you say that I am? Oh, you're my all in all. I couldn't live without you. You're my everything. You're my joy. You're my peace. You're everything I've ever had, Lord. You've been a love that has never failed. You've been the one that stick closer than a brother. Who do you say that I am? Well, you're wonderful. What about the Shulamite? Oh, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. How does she know that? And he said, thou art fair. Because he wanted her. He wants to see in her what she sees in him. You see, it's not just what I know of him. It's what divine revelation have you received of him? I want to know him personally. This is a personal relationship. This is something we go deep into. And you'll see in Psalms 45 is where we're going to go. What kind of vision do you have? And we talked about consider the lily. Psalms 45 is a deep, deep truth. It's a very love and deep relationship. Shoshana is a psalm one of a lily. This song was sang in the springtime, and remember, this is the time of the Passover. It was sang by the sons of Korah because they were saved. How? Only by God's grace. Their fathers died because of sin. Their father perished because of sin. But what did they have to do? Apply the blood to the doorpost. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So consider, lilies. Consider who you are. Who are you? Who is he first? Who is he? Now, who are you? Think very carefully and really meditate on that before making any decisions. When you're walking in life, you remember James said, be quick to hear, but slow to speak, slow to anger. This is someone who God is beginning to teach them to consider. Think about that individual. Are they walking in the spirit? Or are they walking in the flesh? Consider. So I began to consider and think about some things. And I thought, when you're walking in love, are you considering your brother or your sister before you make a rash decision? Before you say the wrong thing? Before you do the wrong thing? And it was like, we need the blood on the doorpost. Apply the blood right here. I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded he is able. And that's not just a song. That is a song that is going to become the life that you now live. And we go into Psalms 45. And my Bible said, the king's marriage, the marriage of the Lamb. But look at verse 45. I love this because I got to talk to one of my sisters on the way home from our trip. 2.5 hours passed because of being occupied with Christ, being in oneness, being in fellowship and washing one another's feet so we could enjoy real communion, real life, that the life we live, it was all centered around Jesus. And the time went so fast. And all we talked about was the love of our life, Jesus, the one who made a difference, the one who can make a difference. But where does he have to begin the work? In our heart. Well, they need to change. No, Lord, you pray for them to grow. Pray for their growth. That's love. You're considering. If you're not seeing what you want, then consider. Meditate. Think on that before making a decision. My heart. I like this. My heart. Think of your own life. My heart is an indicting good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Okay, my heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. Have you ever talked to someone, not, what did you do yesterday? And, oh, isn't this good coffee or whatever? You know, all that kind of stuff. No, you sit down because you're one in the Lord, and your heart is an indicting good matter. You got a vision. You got a vision, and your eyes are on Jesus, because without that vision, you're going to perish. And he says, my heart is indicting good matter. In the abundance of my heart, I'll tell you what, it's boiling on the inside. It's bubbling over. And I heard deep and wide. The song we sing as a child. There's a fountain and it's flowing deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, inside of me. Let Jesus, you see, he sees our heart. And you're going to see in this psalm, it's going to get down to forget about them because he desires you. It's an indicting good matter. I speak. Here comes our mouth is going to speak, which I have made by touching the king. My tongue. What's that little unruly member? The tongue. Now it's a pen. It's a pen of a ready writer. They're very skillful. How? By the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. What to say? When to say it? Even in the midst of the heat. I'm going to say what I want to say. No. Be still and know that I am God. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Out of the abundance of your heart, you're going to begin to talk about him. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Every man that ever came, even Christ, when he came down here in the form of man to take that place for every one of us, thou art fairer than men. Grace is poured into your lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword. And, you know, I was thinking about that. Remember the red horse and the war horse and all that stuff that was coming in Revelation? And I was thinking, boy, I can't wait until I can see this. And I've already seen it. In practicality right now, we're seeing it. But we're also going to see this for Israel. Gird up your sword upon your thigh, Lord. Most mighty. Now, who's most mighty? He is. Gird up your sword. It's the sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God. He is the word. Gird it up on your thigh, most mighty, and with thy glory, and with thy majesty. In thy majesty, ride prosperously. Because of what? Truth. Because of meekness. Remember, he came meek. Meek as a lamb. He didn't even open up his mouth. Even when he was saying, who do you say that I am? He wasn't looking for compliments. He was wanting to see. He already, Jesus knows. But he wanted them to say, who am I to you? And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. And we know in that one scripture that says, all men, every knee is going to bow. Everyone is going to subdue under the power of the Lord. Thy throne, O God, it's forever and ever. Even when Jesus gives that throne back up, the kingdom back to God, when he does that, when he gives that back to God, they are still going to reign in oneness. God will be the supreme authority just like he is today. But what about when we say he's supreme? What did Jesus say? He said, I don't put myself too high, but I don't have to think I'm not as in him. We are in the beloved. When you see that, you are full of power and grace and majesty and honor and glory, but it's him. It's all him. The people are going to fall under you. They will submit to what? The word of God. Thy throne is forever, and your scepter. I always like scepter. Your scepter is love. Oh, blessed control. Even when he told Esther, he put out the scepter. Come on in. The scepter of your kingdom is right scepter. And as you keep going down, thy love, thou lovest righteousness, you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. All of the whole, everyone, above the fellows, of your kindred, okay, above your brethren. He says, right here he goes, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows, all your garments, smell of myrrh. Have you put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? All of his garments, they smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Ivory palaces is where royal people live. They dwell in those places. King's daughters, S, were among the honorable women. Upon your right hand did what? Stand. Who is the one today learning to stand, having done all to stand? Why are you standing? By God's grace. We are standing in His strength. We're standing believing. I believe what you have said. There's something God has had to have spoke to each one of you to bring you into that bridal calling. Think of that day. What a vision. What a vision. There's going to be a marriage. But we get to make a choice. Do you want to be the bride? Do you want to be the friends? What do you want to be? King's daughters were among the honorable women. Upon your right hand did stand who? The queen. A king who has a queen. In gold of Ophir. That was like that golden eagle. I thought it was cool because if you look it up, it's called the queen. Hearken. Here we go again. Hearken, O daughter. Listen to me, he that hath an ear. Hearken, O daughter. And what are you going to do? Consider. Think about this before you make a decision. Is all this earthly stuff better than true wealth? Is anything better than being able for the high calling to be the bride of the Lamb? What calling do people want? The highest calling of all, but the one He's called us to. And it's like, here He is, and He goes, hearken, O daughter. It doesn't say daughters. I want you to consider. I want you to incline your ear. Lean over here and let me talk to you. We got to have a lot of close, intimate time together. Now here's what you're going to do. What did Rebecca have to do? Leave your mother, your brother, and your sister and said goodbye. You're about your father's business. Forget about your own people. It doesn't mean you're going to forget and you hate them and all the stuff. It's don't let them occupy the first place of your heart. Forget about your own people and your father's house. So shall the king. Now get this. Get the vision. The king desires, greatly desires. He desires your beauty. You may not look beautiful on the outside, but He sees what's going on the inside, that inward beauty. Why? Because He is the Lord. He's the provider. He's your lover. He's your all in all. You're drawing everything from Him. And guess what happens then? And worship thou Him. Worship. That means give the glory, give the honor, give everything to Him for what He did, for what He done, what He's doing, and what He will do. The daughter of Tyre, she's going to be there. Phoenicia, she's rich. She wants to bring a present. Friends come to weddings, they bring presents. Shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter, she's all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold, within, without. She shall be brought into the king in raiment of needlework. There's that needlework. It works in, it works out. It goes back in, it comes back out. A lot of work when you do needlepoint, needlework. You have to learn that. There's some accuracy that needs to be done with that. The virgins, her companions, I always thought this was kind of cool. Her companions, they follow her. Who has she been following? She followed Christ. Who are they following? They're following her. It's him, Rob Gould. They've been following, they're watching. I love how Eula always brought that to me. She said, it's one thing to follow him, but oh, sister, I want to be found in him. I can follow him, but I want to be in him. With gladness and rejoicing, they be brought. They'll enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou must make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. And that song's been on my heart this morning. Jesus, name above all names. And there's a sweet fragrance, like the smell after the rain. I thought of Enoch. He walked with God. He was not, but God took him. God took Enoch before the flood, before the rain. But Noah was there, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He's going to be in the ark, the place of safety. He will go through the flood. He's going to take him higher than the flood. And it's like those two, Noah is going to go through the judgment, but he will come out safe. When we look at this as all the bride, I thought of while Joseph's brother rejected him, Joseph found a bride. He found a bride in Egypt. Our Lord, Israel's king, they rejected him. But he's getting a bride. And he hasn't totally forsaken them. Even the Jew, Messianic Jew, they can take the message. They can enter in. But it's like, because that was what the little Jewish lady told me. Can I still be a Jew and get saved? Well, of course you can. Of course you can. But she saw something. She saw something she'd never heard before. And see, this is something when we hear it, to get a divine revelation. To really get a divine. Paul wanted us to see the heights, the depth, the width. He wanted us to have a divine revelation. Because when you do, without a vision, the people perish. But when I know whom I believed in, we're not going to perish. It started out, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It ends with, see whom I believed? I was persuaded that he was able to keep all that we committed unto him, everything. And what are we going to do? We're going to bow down and we're going to worship him. We're going to behold him, but we're doing that now. What you're doing now is what you're going to do then. You're like in a, what do you call that when they have a wedding? A rehearsal. That's such a rehearsal. You can go into Leviticus 26, I think it is, and read that. It's a rehearsal. We're going to be married. Prepare for the wedding. Get ready. Be ready to leave at any moment. And let nothing, don't let your family, don't let your friends, don't let your job, nothing. It doesn't mean you don't talk to them and you're so much better than them. No, you are there to show him. Show Jesus, not that you're doing it in works. You're falling in love with him. And they see, why? Because she talks about him all the time. Why doesn't she be quiet? Why does she always have to talk about Jesus? Because he's the love of her life. She's engaged. She's going to be married. I talked about George to my family so much that Dad said, you need to get on the plane and go be with him. You know, it's time. You got to go. And I said, okay, I'm going. But thank the Lord. He's working this work in our heart. I mean, I could think of anything that I don't see perfected, okay? But I know that God has shown me sanctification has been done. Well, so has redemption. But if you don't claim it and you don't make it practical, you're just going to look at it. I used to think that Canaan was somewhere up on high, that I would go when I came to die. But when I came to God and at his cross, whatever, did bow, I found salvation through the blood. Oh, I'm living in Canaan right now. And that's what we should be doing. Living in Canaan, in heavenly places, ruling and let him rule and reign in and through us. And that's deep. We go, well, I didn't do that yesterday. Stop looking at yourself. Get your eyes back on the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Look at him. And behold who he's going to be and the work that he's working in you and who you're going to be. It's one thing to say you're a bride, but I love it when he says, you can be the queen that sits right beside me. Let's all stand.